This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey.
Hi.
ENN tonight. It's
on Tiwi.
Yeah. It's brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash. Get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
He said they didn't.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
How do I prepare for that?
I'd like to say good evening to myself.
I skipped 8th grade. I went from 7th to 9th grade.
What a nerd. I'd like to say good evening also to the great Jeff Passan.
Look at this bleep.
Look at this bleep is
Did
right.
Did we have to dump Jeff again or no?
No, no dump today.
Okay.
I'd like that, please.
I love when we Thank get you, drops Anthony. Analyzing drops.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could play that.
Well, that last drop definitely won't be true of me because I've been sampling this Chinese like herbal tea. You ever drank that like Chinese diet tea?
Mm. No. Are you sure it's not the Potomac pizza?
No, it's not. It's okay. Not the Potomac pizza. I messed up the Potomac pizza, by the way.
No, what happened?
I ruined it. Yeah. Should have just gotten Lito's and all would have been okay. But it came and it was a little bit cold, and I know my mom likes her food to be warm. She's big on like, oh, it's cold. So it's her birthday. Let's put the pizza in the oven.
You burned it.
And like a hacker, I didn't burn it, but I had the oven up way too high, and so it came out. And it was like matzo pizza. It was crispy. It wasn't right.
Right.
So no dump today.
Birthday. You ruined your mom's birthday.
I ruined my mom's birthday. That's right. Now, we were talking a little bit about Don and music before the break, and yeah. Possibly a top five list of the greatest lines in the history of music, which
no.
Yeah, Michael thinks requires a lot of hubris and mitigated or unmitigated gall.
Unmitigated.
Yeah, he thinks unmitigated. Let's remember, though, this wouldn't be the first time that Donna's made lists of music before. This, of course, though, was movies. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Gladiator is 34. 35 is Titanic, another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36. Saving Private Ryan, 37. Taxi Driver.
I gotta
tell you,
that was not
my list.
This is
going to
be very
Everyone
dramatic.
Listening was captivated except Michael because he doesn't care unless it's got an interlocking NY.
When he was doing that, Peter, I really had the urge to rip my eyeball out.
You know what? I wish you would have took a swing at me because then it would have all ended. Either way, it would have been over.
Dear God, dear Shrine,
it
was so fabulous to drop you.
If it was on the show, we would have been canceled years ago. It was in the Don
show in
our old office.
In front of, and Andrew backed me up, at least two engaged people. And
Big
you're
engaged
not engaged with anything unless it's about you.
It was awful. It was
How
dreadful.
Else am I supposed to do when somebody asks, what was on the list of the top 50 greatest movies
but
of all time?
We didn't want to hear all 50. And
well,
you
that's tough. You did.
All
I think
did.
It was 100.
It was 100, actually.
Whatever it was. And tell me, you enjoyed it, Andrew, didn't you?
Yeah. Two things can be true. One, I was engaged. Two, I was also surprised that you read all 100.
What else
and
was
I
going
didn't
on?
Storm out. I suffered through it because I'm a friend.
Yeah, he really suffered through as a friend. Give me
and
all
by the
it
way, was I surreptitiously taped it so we could play it on the air.
By the way, Michael's always checked out in our meeting anyway. Virtual,
like,
in person, it doesn't matter.
We're having lunch in his office.
You guys just blah, blah, blah.
Because here's what really irritated Michael to no end is that it's an office. It's Michael's office. We're all having lunch. And that's where Michael holds court. That's where he does his stand-up. That's where he tests material. That's when he starts telling the stories. The second somebody else tries to chime in with anything else, he's done. Because it's not about him. It's not stroking his ego. It's not completely consuming Michael Kay. He's out.
Peter, can I ask
out
you
Out to the point, maybe, not just out, offended.
Maybe one time you could have my back on this.
Okay.
In these meetings, as you say, I check out. I don't say a word. I don't practice stand up in lines. No, that's somebody else you're thinking about.
No, you're the one who never shuts up in these meetings. This is not the Zoom meeting where Mike. I don't even know why Michael dials in. I'm talking about the meetings at
Andrew,
his old
let's
office,
ask Andrew.
Peter.
Andrew,
I don't. Go ahead, Andrew. What's your take?
What's your question, Michael?
Do I hold court? Do I like try out lines, or do I occasionally throw in a quick line or so? Don's the one who does stand ups.
Yeah, I mean, in the meetings, Don does more of the talking than Michael. Certainly.
And on the show.
Well, he's not commenting on the show right now. Okay.
Now, how about you, Peter? Are you going to defend me?
I don't agree. I do not agree with the assessment that Michael holds court and performs during meetings. No, I don't agree with that.
I think you're looking in a mirror, Don. That's what's happening.
Now, listen, I think it's important for us to move on.
Tell us a John Sterling story, Michael. Tell us about what it's like being with the Yankees on the road, Michael.
Now,
what was it like working with him, Michael?
Who's the person asking those questions, though? That's my question.
Brouncher.
No, it's Please, Brouncher's only talking about how much he spent at lunch. And what did you have for lunch? What did you get? What do they have? What kind of sandwiches do they have down there? They good? It's good. I teased earlier a line of Paul Simon's that always makes me cry.
Right.
Do you know the song? It's a recent Paul Simon song. Do you guys know Father and Daughter by Paul Simon?
Oh, no. Sure.
Neither of you? No, Don, do you?
Don does.
Don, it's such a beautiful song. Michael, you have a daughter. You should absolutely listen to it. But the line, Don, when he says, "I'll stand guard like a portrait of a golden retriever," for some reason, I tear up every time I hear it. Because I'm like, how can you be so good to encapsulate a feeling into so few words so well? It overcomes me. That's what makes him the GOAT. GOAT songwriter, I said it. All right, guys. Let's hear from Joe Shane, or as I pronounce him, Joe Skihoang. He's your new GM of New York Giants football, and he's asking if previous head coaching experience is important to the coaching job.
Yeah, all of our candidates bring, you know, a different skill set to the table, so I'm not concerned if they've been a head coach before or if they haven't. I'm concerned with getting the best head coach for the New York Giants. So if they've got previous coaching experience, fine. If they don't, that's fine. Again, Brian Daboll I've worked with. I know Dan Quinn. I've got a lot of respect for him. You know, Brian Flores is coming in. I know a lot of people in Miami. I got a lot of respect for him. So, you know, specifically on Brian, you know, he's got good qualities just like the rest of the candidates. So I don't want to speak on anything specific on him. But, again, it's going to be imperative, somebody that's in lockstep with me that I can work with. We can have constant communication, and we're going to be aligned in our vision, you know, as we build the football team.
He was referring to Daboll. That's who the question was originally about. Can I just point out, guys? Joe Skihoang. That he's sort of, in a weird way, a sound-alikey for Joe Judge.
Holy crap.
Don't you guys hear it at all? He's got a voice.
I think that they're in the press conference, but
all right, listen to this next one.
You ruined it for everybody.
Here's Joe Skihoang being asked if he thinks the roster needs an overhaul.
Yeah, I think when everybody was on the field together, I think there's some pieces. You know, you watch that New Orleans game, that's a game I reflected upon where, you know, some of their better players made good plays down the stretch. So, you know, I do think there are pieces in place. Again, I think with you add, you know, a young foundation through the draft, you know, again, I want to see progress. You know, obviously there's some positions that, you know, are a little bit more devoid of talent than others. So, again, we're going to look to add talent across the board. And, again, just to see progress and put a competitive, you know, team on the field next year is very important.
I don't hear it.
It's a little more high-pitched than Joe Judge.
It's a little more high-pitched.
It sounds like somebody, though.
No, it's because it's a little more high-pitched than Judge, but the way he inflects is similar.
You know what it doesn't sound like, though? Sound like Dave Gettleman.
You know, doesn't sound like Dave Gettleman. That's true, Michael. It does not sound like. Let's go Sox! Joe Skihoang. Here he is. He doesn't believe in teardowns, he says.
I'm not a big tear it up, rebuild. I think you can truly build a roster where you can compete today and build for tomorrow. So we're going to, through the draft, free agency, whatever avenue we can, we're going to continue to build a competitive roster, and we want to see progress. And we're going to continue to build with a long term in mind, you know, as we build it. But I think you can compete today and still build for tomorrow.
In other words, they have told me that is not what we're doing. So we're going to go ahead and go with the plan here. He was asked about Daniel Jones.
I've looked at Daniel, and you know, once the new staff gets in here, we're going to get together, offense coordinator, head coach, the entire staff, dive into the film as a group and look at what Daniel does best, and we're going to try to, you know, allow him to put his best foot forward. So, again, I've looked at him. I know there's been, you know, I wasn't here in the past, so I don't exactly know, you know, what he was told to do. But I do know this. I know he's a great kid. He's been in this building the last 2 days. I've talked to him. There's not anybody in this building that has said a bad word about his work ethic, passion, you know, desire to win. And I think you got to have those traits as a quarterback. And the kid has physical ability. You know, he's got arm strength. He's athletic. He can run. So I'm really excited to work with Daniel. And again, when the new staff gets in here, we'll build an offense around Daniel to accentuate what he does best.
Doesn't sound like somebody who's going anywhere.
Didn't it? Sure didn't. Not there. No. Sounds like they're at least, Don, it sounds like their mind is made up for the immediate.
And the other thing I took from the press conference, guys, mm-hmm. that I mentioned earlier today when I did the show, you know how we try to make Chris Mara out to be, well, he's just, you know, he's just a piece in the wheel. He was meeting. He brings Chris's name in with Steve and John.
He was in every meeting of every coach.
He's a very significant person in this. And John made it seem like, well, listen, he's just a scout. He advises, but he kind of tried to downplay what his brother means to the organization. He's a major part of this.
Yeah, why weren't we in the room? I mean, Chris Mara was in the room for a reason. We were not in the room for a reason. Chris Mara was in on every interview of mm-hmm. every GM candidate and every coach. He's been there. So he's not just nothing.
Let's hear from John Mara, who was asked about Daniel Jones.
We do feel that Daniel can play. You know, we've done everything possible to screw this kid up since he's been here. We keep changing coaches, keep changing offensive coordinators, keep changing offensive line coaches. You know, I take a lot of responsibility for that. But let's bring in the right group of coaches now and give him some continuity and try to rebuild the offensive line and then be able to make an intelligent evaluation of whether he can be the franchise quarterback or not. I have a lot of hope in Daniel. I know how badly he wants it. I know how the players feel about him. So we are certainly not giving up on him.
Can I just tell you, Giants fans, whenever you get down on yourself and think that you're really like the dreck of the NFL, I need you to understand that, flawed as they may be, because they have a guy like John Mara who talks that way, you are not the dreck of the NFL. Like, that is...
Oh, that's a really nice thing for you to say.
That is levels above what most owners would do. He sat there and took complete... You don't hear owners use words like, we've done everything to mess this kid up.
Well, are you saying that he is a better presentation for the organization than Daniel Snyder? Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm implying here, Michael.
I think it's more than an implication.
Well, Daniel Snyder doesn't speak in public.
Oh.
He has to be, like, hidden away.
He doesn't even speak when you give him cookies.
Because the last time he spoke, literally one of the last times he spoke, guys, was that time when he said,
cookies.
You can write this down. You can write this down. We will never change the name. Do you remember that?
He lied.
Yeah. A, he lied. And B, you know why he was pressured to change the name? Because of that moment. So he's not allowed to talk because he doesn't ever make sense or say the right thing. The fact that John Mara sits there, though, and really takes ownership, and I'll tell you, I have mixed feelings.
He owns a team. He should take ownership.
That's a great point. I have mixed feelings on Daniel Jones and what his capabilities are, but I don't hate that they're saying we see enough that we want to at least give him more of a proper shot. I respect it. It may not work, but they obviously like him because he's Gettleman's deal, and Gettleman's gone now. So if they were ready to move on, they could move on. And it's very clear for Mara they're not ready to move on from Daniel Jones.
Because I don't know if it was by design or coincidence, but when the Jets were in this similar situation, it almost felt like we're going to get rid of everything McCagnan. Well, everybody he drafted, everybody he signed, they're all gone. I don't know if that's going to be the case here.
See, but this is the perfect situation for Joe Shane. Because if they can turn around Daniel Jones, the other coaches and Gettleman couldn't do it. So they'll get credit for it. Even if Gettleman's the one who made the pick, they'll get credit for him being a great quarterback because he's been terrible.
But it also is convenience. I mean, they have the ability of giving him another year because what's the alternative? Are they going to trade for Russell Wilson? Are they going to trade for Aaron Rodgers? Are they going to go out and get Derek Carr? The Jets had the second overall pick in a draft that had quarterbacks. So they might as well just give him a year, right?
And if something comes down the pike and Seattle doesn't ask for a lot for Wilson or Wilson's willing to come here, then you can kind of change gears. But why not give him the year? Don't give him the fifth-year option, but give him this fourth year.
Don, you make a lot of sense. And I guess what, I have some information here that may interest you.
No, no dump today.
The great Pat Leonard tweeting that Brian Daboll is the favorite to get the Dolphins job.
Whoa!
Meaning that Quinn and Flores step up to the lead contenders for the Giants job.
Maybe just make one call and see if Peyton's interested, please. One. Just make one call. Just see if he's interested. For me.
Okay.
You sounded almost like a Sandler character. It was almost like
that is that, you know what? I'm a big Sandler fan.
Well, you work together.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah.
Thank you for being such a gentleman.
Did he direct you in that?
Yes, he did personally. And he was not the director of the film, but he directed that scene. He stood right off to the side of the camera angle and kept feeding me different lines to use.
Did he?
Yeah.
He was like, diggity boo boo.
And, you know, he did all of his voices. And then when he did Little Nicky, I walked off the set because that's the one I can't stand.
Sick. Yeah, that's, you know what, that's
when
he
lost
me.
That was Jumping the Shark.
I can't watch.
Oh, it was awful. It was just awful. It might be one of the worst movies ever made. And I love Sandler.
And he mentioned Click, and you just started weeping right in front of him.
Oh, with Henry Winkler. Oh.
Yeah, it cuts you right to the core, doesn't it?
It really does.
I know it. All right.
To the quick.
Maybe I'll do top five movies, you know, because I have such hubris.
You could do that. That's kind of what the top five is, Michael.
Yeah, but I would never think I'm so important as that people would know.
Hey, there was a time where, during the pandemic, where it saved the show. Let's be honest. You're requesting them.
People, right.
You asked for a top five last week.
But not top five lyrics of all time. I mean, it's so expansive. For you to think that you can narrow it down, it's unbelievably arrogant.
Not hey, nice try, Don. That's good work.
You know what? You could do it tomorrow. I'll sit out. I'll sit out that second.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did.
Hey, Don, want to have Michael sit out right now?
What do you got?
Here you go. Here's what I got for you. Wow, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it because I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you.
On TV.
Yeah. A really, really quick. Don't worry, guys. It'll be totally legal. It'll be quick, okay? Don, let's see how fast you can get the songs today from Whitish Wednesday.
Oh.
Fast, Don. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Don LaGreca trying. We do it every Wednesday morning on Hot 97. Let's see what Don does with this. Answer quick.
I got my mind set on you, George Harrison.
Boom. All right, here we go.
Oh, I can't think of who the artist is.
You don't need the artist. You can just get the title.
Symphony
there you go.
In time.
Dun, sweet dun, dun, here dun, we go.
All right. Oh, this is Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes.
Very good. Oh, here's this could be
because there's nobody even whiter to me.
This could be tough. This one could be a little young for you. Let me tell you. Virtual Insanity, Jamiroquai.
Yeah, that's not
that one.
I've heard it before, but that's I'm proud not to know that.
Are you really?
Oh, Johnny Cash. I'll Walk the Line.
How about this one though?
Oh, Billy Moni Idol.
Moni. I mean, are we really like breaking ground here that Don's white?
All right, let's hear from Jim Harden. The rumors have been out. Actually, you know what we should do, guys? If you want to.
Oh, it's up to you.
You want to hear from Jim Harden on the other side?
It should be up to Michael.
Michael?
Well, it should be up to Don. Well, yeah, let's hear from Jim Harden on the other side. But I will tell you this before we hear from Jim Harden. He's questionable for tonight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, left hamstring tightness. So he's questionable. He was asked about his left hamstring. He said, it's okay. Just like you talked about New York. But
he hurt his hamstring backing up on those quotes.
Yeah, ooh. So there could be no Harden, could be no Kyrie, and definitely no Kyrie, definitely no Kevin Durant. So please tune into Yes Later for that game. 1-800-919-3776, but more.
Otis Bird songs playing tonight.
On Harden. right here on ENN on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. Are we really breaking ground here that Don's white?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All righty, ENN continuing. It's all brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker, the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly. And we pick back up ENN with the aforementioned quotes from James Harden.
You said Jim.
Jim Harden. Having a back and forth, being asked about whether or not he's happy in Brooklyn.
So today, that suggests that you might not be happy in Brooklyn or with the rotations that are happening. I'm just wondering, A, if you can speak
to who?
Bleacher Report.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Instead of speaking to the reports, can you just talk about your experience living in Brooklyn? The report suggested that you were unhappy.
You're talking about reports. I don't know about reports. Did you guys hear from me?
That's what I'm asking.
All right, so I don't know about the reports.
Do you enjoy New York City?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. What a commercial.
He loves New York.
I love New York. Yeah. Yeah.
How much? I mean, it's
okay.
All right, let's hear Jimbo. Jim's asked about the frustrations that he's having with the team and et cetera.
Listen, I don't know about any reports. Of course, I'm frustrated because, you know, we're not healthy. There's a lot of inconsistency for whatever reason, injuries, COVID, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, but yeah, it's frustrating. I think everybody in this organization is frustrated because we are better than what our record is and we should be on the way up. So that's all it is. I don't know about reports. If you didn't hear from me, I don't talk to nobody. I have an agent. Like, you know, if you don't hear from me, then it's reports. You know, I'm frustrated because I want to win and I'm a competitor. It's pretty simple.
I got to tell you what. Okay, it's so disingenuous when athletes answer questions like that. If somebody wrote a story about me, said that I want to get out of ESPN Radio, I can't stand Don and Peter's face, and it's from sources close to K, right? And the story broke like 5 hours before somebody asked me. There's no way on God's green earth that I would not know about that report. There's no way. For him to say, well, I don't know about any report, you're lying. There's no one with the Nets who have a great PR staff.
Yeah.
No one went up to him and said, hey, this is out there. You better get ready. They're going to ask you about it. That's just a lie, man. It's just a lie. So just address it. Either deny it or not. I don't want to talk about that. Or lie and say, I'm happy here. I just want to win a championship. But to say I don't know about no report.
Right.
Come on.
The message has to be, whether you knew about the report or not, that it's a complete fallacy. Everything in there is completely wrong. And if you don't do that, then I think you're trying to send the message that you like that report being out there.
And you think, Don, maybe his agent would have called him and said, you know, this is out there right now? Would your agent tell you?
Of course, if there's anything like that. And believe me, the Nets, you cannot be a PR director or work in PR in New York for any of the franchises here in New York and not be on top of everything. My agent, Michael, gets an alert on his phone anytime my name is tweeted out. He told me this because he wants to monitor what's going on, what's happening for that specific reason. If all of a sudden something were to pop up and he needs to do damage control and needs me to let me know to do something, that's if they're doing it for me, Michael, who's nobody, they're doing it for James Harden.
Right.
So Harden knew exactly the second that report came out. He knew about it. He was told about it by his agent, by Brooklyn PR.
by teammates. He knew exactly what they were talking about.
And I hate to take this leap, probably orchestrated the whole thing.
You hate to take the leap, but you're taking it.
Well, at the minimum, he knew about it. At the maximum, he's the one that put it out there.
Right. Well, I don't know why it bothers me to this day that athletes like think we're morons. Because anything, if there's a tweet that's bad about you, your friends can't wait to tell you. They can't wait. So there's no way he didn't know about that. That's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie.
Is it bald or bold?
I've always wondered. I used to say bald.
That's a great question.
I think it's a bald-faced lie.
Bald-faced lie.
Yeah.
But your face isn't bald. Your head is.
Ask Peter. I don't know.
Anthony Davis came back for the Lakers last night.
Sure did.
8 points, 25 minutes. Easy victory over the Nets.
That place, it sounded like they were playing in L.A., didn't it?
Oh, yeah. They were there for the Condor. And he was soaring last night. The Condor was soaring.
I saw this stat, Peter. You'll love this. Carmelo Anthony, there's only four players in the history of basketball at Carmelo's age that have scored more points than Carmelo per game. And Carmelo's averaging like 14.3 points per game. Mm-hmm. And then you have LeBron, who's older than Carmelo, one of the four, and he's averaging over 30 points a game.
He's doing things that are we may end up looking at him as even crazier than Brady because the game is so different, you know, what he does. Now, speaking of crazy, the Wizards were up 35 points at halftime on the Clippers yesterday.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
This can't happen.
Let's hear the end of that game from NBC Sports Washington.
Kennard, got to watch out. 3 seconds, puts up the shot, hits it, and the foul! Are you kidding me?
Kennard hits the free throw. Yes, not only did they blow a 35-point lead, they lost on a 4-point play.
What?
I call that the Larry Johnson.
Let's hear what it sounded like. Yeah, that's right, the 4-point play. Let's hear what it sounded like on Bally Sports LA.
Kennard, the three for the tie! Oh, my goodness! I don't believe what I have seen! We are tied at 115! And a foul!
I was at the Larry Johnson game, Don.
What was it like?
Oh, my God. The building literally shook.
I was listening to that in the parking lot of Jerry Recco's wedding.
See, he has no respect when he's at anywhere. You know, Peter?
No.
You're sitting with ESPN executives. He's watching a basketball. He's watching a hockey game. He's at a good friend's wedding. He's sitting in the parking lot. He doesn't even care about basketball.
Yeah, but I was not the only one in the parking lot.
So it was a bad wedding, is what you're saying. You're ripping Jerry Recco's wedding. You were bored.
Hey, I will not confirm or deny that Joe Benigno actually responded he would attend and didn't go because of that game. So
all I know is this, Peter. This is no disrespect to Jerry, who's a great guy. Don's the only human being that didn't dance at my wedding. So this is Don.
Don, I want to hear about who more of the greats and near greats were at the Jerry Recco wedding.
Well, Joe was not there because the Knicks were playing.
Did he give a gift, though?
You'd have to ask Jerry.
Was Chris?
Well, you asked Jerry. You have Jerry's number.
Yeah, Carlin was. I believe. You know what? You could probably. I'll text Chris. I'm sure Chris was in the parking lot with me. Sweeney Murdy was there.
Was Chris Russo there?
I don't think so.
Do you know that Chris Russo on First Take today?
Really?
Arguing with Stephen A. Smith?
Oh, I got to watch that. That's must-see TV.
Yeah.
Chris Russo arguing. Okay.
Two of them screaming at each other. It was good.
Get up, Stevie! How dare you?
Did you see SNL?
I saw Chris Red.
Chris Red was great, but I tell you what, that's the best imitation I've ever seen Kenan Thompson do of Michael Irvin.
I agree, because Irvin's not easy to do, and while it wasn't like an exact replica, I think Chris Red's impression was closer to Stephen A., but Stephen A.'s voice is easier.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Kenan was great as Irvin.
Oh, my goodness. It's the best he's ever done.
Don, have you seen the skit?
No.
They did a First Take skit with Michael Irvin and Stephen A., It was one of the best SNL skits, at full execution, Michael, of a skit that I've seen in a while.
It was really well done. Yep.
The whole thing was funny. Oh, they butchered Molly Karam's name, though.
Yeah. Sweeney Murdy was there?
Yes. All right. One more time, Anthony.
Sweeney Murdy was there?
Yeah, sure. which means if Mike was there, he fell asleep.
Oh, I see what you did. You tied it all together.
I just text Carlin. I'm pretty sure Carlin was in the parking lot with me.
Wait, what, Mike and Chris, were they there?
No, not that I'm aware of. Not that I remember. I would think.
And Beningo decided RSVP'd yes.
Yes.
And then when the Knicks were playing in a playoff game, he decided not to come.
He did it to my brother too.
That's amazing.
Wow, this is a habit.
My brother's wedding. He was invited to my brother's wedding. The Jets were on a bye. All right. He sent in that he was going to come with his wife, and then didn't show up, and then he got caught up in the games and didn't show up. Like, do you know how weddings work?
That's.
But now you have the answer to this. He RSVP'd yes to the brother's wedding, your brother's wedding.
Yeah.
Did he give a gift?
I believe he did.
That's a total loss if you say yes and then you don't give a gift and don't show up.
Sid.
Rosenberg.
Sid Rosenberg did the same thing, and I know he gave a gift.
Well, Sid's a mensch, that's why.
Though Carlin said no, he was not at the wedding. He was stuck with Mike at Belmont.
Mike. Poor Recco.
So there was.
This is an important last important question about the Recco wedding. I need to know this.
Right.
Was the Mink Man there? I need to know if the Mink Man was there. He was there?
Yes.
All right. Summers?
Sweeney Murdy was there?
No, I don't think Summers.
Was Summers there?
No.
Okay. But I mean, you meant Steve. I meant Suzanne. I thought Suzanne might have showed up. Just a fan of Recco. Okay. back on this day in 1992, one of the most glorious days of my life, the then Washington Redskins beat the Buffalo Bills 37-24. Super Bowl win number 3 for the Washington football team. Mark Rippon passes for 292 yards and 2 touchdowns. Over 100 yards, by the way, and a touchdown from Gary Clark. Also another 100 yards from Art Monk. Mm-hmm. Jim Kelly throws 4 interceptions. And, God, the NFC East was in good shape in those days. Am I right?
I'll tell you that, arguably, Peter, one of the greatest teams of all time.
Don, was Chernoff there?
Yes.
Nice.
They really were, Don. They're a top five. I think they're 5 or 6 fifth or sixth greatest team of all time. 14-2. Awesome, awesome season. Of course, coached by the great, great Joe Gibbs. That will do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Beautifully done. We'll come back. Got some news on the Knicks tonight. They're playing Miami, but they're playing with one player, without one player. We'll tell you who it is when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.